The body of a hostage returned yesterday by Hamas has been identified by Israel as an Israeli-American soldier, 19-year-old Itay Chen. The ceasefire brokered by the US President Donald Trump last month remains fragile. 100 people were killed in the region last week in Israeli airstrikes, and there remains a dire need for aid for the people of Gaza. Well, we're joined in our studio now by Dana Abu Kosh, who is the International Humanitarian Law Coordinator for the Palestine Red Crescent Society and is in Dublin to address the Red Cross International Humanitarian Law Conference tomorrow. Good morning. Welcome to the programme.
Good morning.
What can you tell us about the humanitarian situation on the ground in Gaza now?
Unfortunately, the humanitarian situation in Gaza remains quite catastrophic, I would say. People are dying every single day. The idea that the ceasefire has succeeded is a pretty performative politics. Aid is not going in. Aid is not going in sufficiently. Only half of the aid, even less, that was agreed upon is going in on a daily basis. People remain displaced, starving. The humanitarian condition and the medical also, the medical facilities present in Gaza remain destroyed.
So when you say that only half of the aid that's needed is getting in, where are the areas where the aid is not reaching?
So the aid is not going in from all of the entry points, and that's the problem in Gaza. The only entry point where it's going through, it's Kerem Shalom, and that's through the south of Gaza. And only around 200 trucks maybe get in on a daily basis, and what was agreed upon was around 600, which means that looting takes place, not enough people receive the aid, and that's almost 2 million people on the strip.
And tell us then about the conditions that your colleagues have been working under while Israel was bombing Gaza, and even, as you say, since the ceasefire, where there have been airstrikes as well.
They face the exact same circumstances as anyone else in the Gaza Strip. Any video that you have seen of victims of this unfortunate genocide, it's the same thing for our workers. We've lost 51 of our colleagues during this war. 31 of them were killed on duty at hospitals, at medical centers, in ambulances, shelled to death. We've also had 26 of our colleagues forcibly disappeared, kidnapped from our hospitals, taken to unknown whereabouts, and all reported torture when we're released.
Have those been returned?
So most of them have been returned. There only remains two of our colleagues.
And they were detained by the Israeli military. What conditions were they kept under?
They were kidnapped, not detained, by Israeli military from our facilities, and they were kept under inhumane conditions. Many reports have come out to expose the Sidi Timan facility, the Sidi Timan illegal prison, which Israel has started, which is very reminiscent of a concentration camp. And they were beaten on a daily basis, starved. Some of them reported sexual assault as well from Israeli soldiers.
What happens next in Gaza? Because we know now that Hamas has been fighting armed gangs on the ground inside Gaza. Also, the situation is very unstable there for everybody living there, for the people working there, your staff as well. What is needed now to bring stability to that area?
What is needed is the international community, well, states at this point, to come together with a willingness for the ceasefire to actually be consolidated, for peace to be kept, not enforced. There's a really big difference. Forcing peace through power and arms is not going to work. There needs to be a way to enable the Palestinians there to govern themselves and to bring
peace together.
Do you think
there is a need for an international force, though, to come in to stabilize the situation?
We've heard the news about the Security Council and the discussion on this. Perhaps this would be useful, but the most important part of this to us is that this force or mission would be impartial and would allow humanitarians to continue their work and civilians to go back to their lives.
What about accountability then? Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been indicted for war crimes at the International Criminal Court. Do you think there ever will be accountability for what Israel did in Gaza?
I think there will be at one point, perhaps not right now, but there will be at one point. And I think what's happened in Gaza is a dangerous precedent for the future of warfare. And if there isn't any accountability for what happened by the top commanders in Israel, then we're on to a really dark future.
Dana Abu-Kosh, who is International Humanitarian Law Coordinator for the Palestine Red Crescent Society. Thank you very much for coming into our studio this morning. It is 10 to 8.